bring this family court to order. Well, Mr. Jones, since you've determined to act as your own attorney, you're entitled to make a closing statement at this time.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, in the past few months, I've furnished a residence for my children. I've held down my job. Very successful broadcaster at InfoWarsPollisionPlanet.com. May the truth be with you. In regards to my behavior, described as erratic by my wife, I can only plead insanity. I love my kids. They are my world. I wish I could simply accept the proposed custody agreement. Hell, I wish I could just shrug the whole thing off. Sometimes, you know, I want to shut my door, fire up the grill, and eat red meat and go fight another day. But when you can't share your beef with your son, your own flesh and blood, then you got no chance. Your Honor, hell, you know, forget about Your Honor. People of the court, everybody watching home on the webcam, on the live stream, when the demonic, and folks, these people are demonic goblins, okay, true scum. When they say that you're unprepared as a father, then you gotta use an ankle monitor for custody just because you forget their names? Who the hell remembers every name there is, even if it is their own flesh and blood? They say you're unfit, that you're unfit. What about what's in my freaking heart, you robotic worm demon? Don't know, but they don't have those, so they'll never understand. You see, the feminists and the cultural Marxists, they know they can't beat us, so they use family court to divide us.
Mr. Jones, this is highly irregular.
Bailiff, please restrain the judge. This is a court of true justice now.
I am an oath keeper, and this is now a constitutional court. You are being detained, Your
but
Honor.
I'm the judge.
Or should I say, should I say your dishonor?
But I'm just, you're taking my gavel away.
Mr. Jones, proceed.
Here's the real deal, folks. Now, I'd like to call a witness. I've savaged him in the past. All right. I've said his book is globalist Mein Kampf bullcrap. I've called him a footstool to the elite, but he is right about something very important. He has always been right about family court. Ladies and gentlemen, especially fathers, I give you Peabody nominated political reporter Carl Daigle. Carl, what's been going on? What's been happening in our courts? Where are these demons? What are they doing to dads?
Good morning, Alex, and to all the survivalist digheads that may be tuning into this live web stream of a court proceeding. Now, Alex, regardless of our differences, you are completely correct about the anti-father holocaust going on in this country. Our judge over here, our restrained judge, thank God, he may not be Ellentau, but it doesn't matter. He's still trying to inflict matriarchal tyranny on Alex and his kids. Truthfully, though, it wouldn't matter what judge you got, what bailiff you got, what courtroom you got. It doesn't matter if you're in Texas, New York, or at a maritime court. This system is a comprehensive system designed to destroy, undermine, and humiliate dads. The truth is simply in the documents.
Follow the documents, folks. I always say that. I always say it. They're in the documents, folks. Read them. I just get so mad when I hear about this stuff that these freaks have been working for centuries to centralize their power in family court. I mean, folks, go home, read about this, read about Bohemian Grove, folks. That's where the cultural Marxists invented supervised weekends, folks. Read about it. Godspeed, Carl. Now, where can people find your work nowadays?
You can catch me on the ANC trains in New York City Monday through Friday, offering winners and losers of the week analysis.
All right. Now, this is InfoWars Court now. Keep that judge restrained. I'd like to call my next witness. He is America's leading mindset expert. Mike, get yourself over here, brother.
Shauna June, could you bring me the blue pills?
Ah!
Hello, friends. It's Chapo for this week. We got the usual gang here in the trap, but joining us, special guest, star of Twitter, television, and YouTube, Rob Delaney.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Rob.
Thank you for having me.
Before we start with Rob, we just want to say this is a special episode today. Unfortunately, Aaron Hernandez's life came to an end, and Aaron was actually the guy who told us to, you know, go forward with our podcast, so... You know, it's kind of a melancholy day for us.
Wow.
This is bittersweet. We'll try to be funny, as Aaron would have wanted.
Yeah.
But, you know.
He would have wanted. He'd love to laugh.
Heaven has a new angel today.
Yeah.
Aaron, buddy, this is for you.
And we got to get Jared out of there, especially now. After what happened with the Jared Fogle Innocence Project, more important than ever.
Rob, we can certainly attach your name to our letterhead or any kind of sort of pitches or appeals we're making on behalf of the Aaron Hernandez and Jared Fogle Innocence Project.
Oh, without question. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
those are big causes I've been behind for some time.
So, Rob, it's great to have you here. It's awesome to talk to you because, you know, you sort of, you know, paved the way as a guy who took... doing YouTube videos about atheism, logic, and video games, and parlayed it into a TV series. You got a great TV show, Catastrophe, and, you know, like, not to break news here or anything, but, you know, we're working on a TV show as well, and I was hoping you could, like, maybe give us some pointers. If you actually, I accidentally just sent you the script right now. I'm sorry about that, but, you know.
I guess you have to read it all.
Yeah, that's fine. Legally, you know, my team, they tell me not to look at that stuff, because then I can get sued if I, you know, by mistake, use one of your ideas, but I'm sure you guys wouldn't mind if did that.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I'll just tell you what our pitch for the show is. You know, maybe you'll take the idea, maybe you won't, but, like, basically, Felix stars in it, and he plays an American businessman who goes on a trip to Canada and ends up knocking up this French-Canadian woman, and then they decide to make a go of it and sort of have a family, and it's kind of like an anti-romantic comedy and just sort of like a skewed look at, like, life and love and family.
Yeah, it's called Disaster.
Oh my gosh, that, I don't mean to sound like a jerk, but I don't think that has legs, as we say, in Hollywood. I'm not optimistic about the chances of a show like that.
Not even on, like, a streaming service?
I mean, I wouldn't aim higher than Hulu.
Well, you know, I mean, look, we want just your honest feedback. You know, we'll take any advice you have.
Yeah. I would change what it's about. And who is going to make it? I would have it be a different idea and have other people make it. And then I think you'd be in the clear.
Okay, well.
Then we can go on network.
Yeah. Another thing that's, you know, in the news as of now, other than, you know, the dearly departed Aaron Hernandez, that also has to do with television. Rob, apparently, the word is coming through that apparently Fox News has given Bill O'Reilly the axe.
Yeah.
He's not coming back from vacation. It's just, this is a day of injustice all around.
And he went to the Pope. I'm a little bit touched, you know, fuck him. And he, you know, you make your bed, you get to lie in it. But it is kind of interesting that in his time of trial, he has literally gone to the Vatican. And I saw a picture of him shaking hands with the Pope in the VIP line today. He really went there. He really is feeling sad in his black little heart as much as he can. And he literally decided to go to the Pope, which is kind of touching to me.
Well, you know, if you've done some sex crimes, the Vatican, you could hide in worse places than that.
He'll be a cardinal now. I'm just worried that his fans are going to become aimless and angry and resentful and turn to terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a little worried that they're going to pack their mobility scooters with homemade explosives and Gulf War commemorative plates.
Yeah.
It's like blowing up millennial music festivals.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to turn denture paste into C4 if you know how to do it. So I think we need to be watching out for that. You know what they say, you fire an O'Reilly, you give birth to 200 terrorist mobility.
That's actually why Al-Qaeda started in Afghanistan. All of Bin Laden's troops, they loved the Morton Downey Jr. show. And when it went off the air... They were like, oh my God, that was the last redeeming thing about America.
You know, it is kind of funny, though. I mean, working in TV, before I had a show that was successful, I did, whenever I failed at something, I pretended, this was my mindset trick, was that, I don't know if I'm saying that properly, you know, but you have to fail, and you have to fail to build the staircase of success, is what I say. You can't, there's no materials. The mortar is failure, and you do have to fail a bunch of times. And then if you get up and keep going, then maybe it'll work out.
Only the final stone at the very top of the pyramid is success. Every single brick and body underneath that is failure and the people you stepped on to get there. But we only see the success, but the rest is all failure.
Yeah. In ancient Egypt, that's why they whipped the laborers who built the pyramids. So they would die on the way. They would drop a block. But on that sort of crooked foundation, they could build a pyramid. And really, life works the same way. Like, we were not allowed to have slaves anymore due to government meddling. But
regulation.
Regulation, red tape, bureaucracy. But... Mm-hmm. We can all fail in our own way. You know, we can all do a little bit. We can go to prison for a triple murder. Then you get to them, take them off. Yeah.
Then you, quote unquote, hang yourself in your cell. I ain't buying it.
Nah.
Oh, man.
But in addition to that bad news, you know, I woke up this morning and, you know, the O'Reilly, you know, people were talking about O'Reilly. And I just wanted to share with you now the thoughts of Frank Stallone on this.
Uh-huh.
Frank Stallone, brother of Sly, you know, actor.
Yeah, yeah. Talented Stallone in
that
mind.
Actor, musician, you know, gadabout, political commentator. This is what Frank said this morning on Twitter. If you don't believe Bill O'Reilly is being set up by the left, then you're dreaming. Let's see if Murdoch stands up for their number one guy. You can't compliment a woman on her looks or clothes in the workplace without getting fired. Bill O'Reilly was set up by a bunch of blackmailing finks.
You can't compliment a woman over the phone while loudly masturbating. What the fuck is wrong with this guy?
You can't go.
You know what, though? Because I've been married for. My wife and I have been together for almost 13 years. And we have three kids and stuff. And I'm a big person, and I know that I am physically intimidating just because of my size. Not that I'm dangerous or anything, but just, you know, history teaches us to be afraid of large things. So whenever I talk to women, I do try to, like, dial it back and, like, be the most... You know, what I think is helpful for me, though, is that I have a Bachelor of Fine Arts in musical theater. And so I give off a pheromone that is very peacefully and unthreateningly homosexual because of all the dance that I've studied. Because I studied in college, I did 10 hours of dance a week, jazz, tap, and ballet. And I think that allows me to talk to women. And I can even say something nice, and they're not terrified because they know that even as I'm looking at them saying it, I could be complimenting their outfit or whatever, or even their shoes, which is a dead giveaway. And then, but they can see behind my eyes that I'm just thinking about doing a tour jeté or a shuffle off to Buffalo and just dancing out of there, working on some choreography.
Sorry, there's one more from Frank here. He says, so there is a tape on someone talking sweet nothings. So after the fact, you sell someone out for profit? From where I come from, that's called a rat.
Yeah, yeah.
When people rely on the old neighborhood type of stuff, that's the same thing as like, oh, you know, we do things a little differently in the accounting department, you know, when people are like, you know, we made a cake and we put M&Ms on the top of it because we're crazy.
Back in my neighborhood where all the men die of 50 of cardiac arrest, everyone has repressed psychological trauma from getting the shit beaten out of them as kids. I worship a weird form of paganism where my grandmother mostly just, it's her Alzheimer's manifesting as polytheism that we call Catholicism. All my friends are in prison. That's how we do it in my neighborhood, the right way, where everyone's happy.
Oh, man.
So, you know, Frank's not too happy about all these people snitching at Fox News.
If you want to avoid being set up like O'Reilly and you didn't study musical dance theater as Rob did, good thing you can say to women when you meet them, just clear the air, get it out of the way. I will protect you. That's what I say to every woman I meet. Greetings. You may know me as a podcaster. That's my hobby. My job is to be a woman protector.
Well,
It is true, though. I'm sorry. When I walk alone at night, I'm a night walker, and when I see women alone, I definitely physically try to shrink down. I absolutely look away from them when I bat. I don't know if I'm doing affirmative action because women throughout history have so routinely just been eaten and killed and torn asunder by strange men in the night. But I don't know. I'm wrestling with Frank's feelings about this because they're wrong and he's wrong. But
Rob, as a nightwalker, you can affect a smaller posture. You can do anti-gorilla posture to like appear less threatening. But Rob, I must stress this: when you are walking at night, being a nightwalker, wearing a top hat and cape makes people think you're Jack the Ripper.
Okay, that's a huge. Wow! Thank you.
When you're, when you're not filming Catastrophe and you are stalking the streets of Whitechapel in the mornings.
Good to know.
Yeah, as it was coming out last night, Matt Drudge had something where he was like, you know, it was pretty clear the die was cast, and Drudge, you know, his fingers on the pulse. He was like, Bill O'Reilly's had a tremendous career. Very few of us can, you know, choose the way we leave the media, the most ruthless and spiteful of all businesses. And I got to give a shout out to our friend Patty Moe, who just quoted that and was like, if only there was something he could have done, anything differently to affect his fate in any way. But I guess it's out of his hands.
I mean, yeah, he was doing the normal, regular guy stuff you do in media, which is to go through the directory of the company you work for, call every woman and being like, can I put my head up your pussy and yell? It's regular guy stuff.
And now any of us. The Murdochs are going to put him out on an ice floe shaped like a boob.
And the best is how deliberative they're being about it. They're like taking a 5-day, like gradual step down. Super. I mean, they just must be like designing. They're having like whatever that guy who wraps the bridges, Christo and Philippe Stark, like design the best golden parachute in the world. That's why it's taking a full 5-day work week to figure out how to fire the guy.
They're covering
apparently one of the crazy. The big topics of debate is whether or not to let him say farewell to his audience. Like, whether to let him come back. I think he should do it. He should come back. He should wear a tux with the tie undone and sing My Way with his dick out.
Well, I'm hoping for that so we can get his Christine Chubbuck moment.
What does that mean?
He was the female. I guess I should have said R. Bud Dwyer because you know, but
more
you know,
recognizable.
More recognizable moment. Yeah.
Yep, I know who she is.
But Rob, you know, I want to talk too much about Fox News shitheads. There is some political issues of note here recently in America, and specifically these two special runoff elections, or as I call them, jagoff elections, that the Democrats, they lost both of them. The most recently was this guy Ossoff in Georgia's 6th district.
Osso is bear for Latin. Bear in Latin.
But now, like, both of these were closer than they should have been in very red districts, right?
Yeah.
But they were still L's. And the sort of convention, the conventional wisdom that is congealing, let's say, on the Democratic side, is that even though that these were both losses, they sort of paint the path back to power for the Democrats.
Yeah.
And I just want to read one quote here from Brian Fallon, who is a senior advisor to Priorities USA, formerly a press secretary for Hillary Clinton and a comms director for Chuck Schumer, and also a CNN contributor. He says here, even if he doesn't hit 50 tonight, Ossoff is showing us the path to retaking the House. It runs through the Panera Breads of America.
Oh, Lord. What did he pull that? Did he make Panera, that reference, out of whole cloth, or was that, did Ossoff reference that at any time? Was that in any article beforehand, or is that where he's pitching
like a book, like Panera America, the guide to the Democrats' resuscitation. that's going to be on bookshelves within 6 months, I guarantee you.
Well, I mean,
I saw a guy holding a Thomas Friedman book in the airport a couple days ago, and I almost yelled, fuck you. Just those people who just try to interpret based on one tiny, shitty rune that they see drive me crazy. Well,
do you know that two countries with ChatterBait specific addresses for their country code have never gone to war? Do you know the two countries with a hot topic have never had a military coup? I like the Panera Bread thing. You guys are shitting on it, but it's actually from a Mao quote. He said, the revolutionary
is the Panera Bread Super Bread points card holder.
Yeah.
And the Panera Bread is the ocean, and the revolution is the bait, I think. That's what Mao said.
Well, I'm thinking more is because, like, if you look at the, you know, if you look at the data, if you look at the documents from the past election, the Democrats solidly won the Le Pen Quotidien voter.
Yeah.
But there's still some work to do in the Panera Bread voter. You know,
the bigger the bread bowl, the harder the time the Democrats are having.
They call it the ciabatta firewall.
But you know what, though? Speaking, particularly with the Georgia race, what motivates me is that being Tom Price's seat, and I just want to see him upset. It's weird because with Clinton's defeat, it freed me up and a lot of people to just be like, okay, fine, fuck it. I can't play this game anymore. I have to go after exactly what I want. Now that Trump became president, now you just can drop all the filters and you can say fucking exactly what you want. You can go out in the street and you can set things on fire in the name of getting Medicare for all, single payer. There's no more artifice anymore, which I really like. So horizons have expanded, but they've also gotten a lot smaller in that I want to hurt and damage and inflict pain on specific human people. So with Tom Price's seat, I want Ossoff to get that possibly more than Ossoff himself wants it, because I want to see Tom Price cry on TV and have Stephen Miller, you know, call him a homo because he's crying. That's what I want to have happen.
I mean, that is the shitty thing about a Republican presidency. On one hand, you're like, well, the presidential election is over. I can stop pretending that, like, earned income tax credit is the best single thing we can do for economic justice.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, you have this, like, absurd amount of emotional investment in, like, you know, fucking Iowa Council Bluff City Council, because you're like, fucking piece of shit, you're gonna fucking lose, you know, Rick Durgenbody, who got appointed to the State Department Special Undersecretary of Vaporizing Mosques.
For me, it's I'm so lucky that I'm 40 now, but I was 37 when I moved to the UK after almost three decades of living in the US. And I have a wife who has a more complex reproductive system than me, and I have children, and they need to go to the doctor more. So using the NHS has, like, fully radicalized me on single payer Medicare for all. And so now it's opponents. I'm at peace with the fact that it could take 20 years. That's one area where I really admire people like Grover Norquist or Karl Rove, who put out, like, they're like, no, it's a 20-year strategy. I don't care if I'm being lowered into the ground and with my final breath I see single payer happen, but the people, it's opponents. I need them to be damaged. I don't just want to hear bones crack in their body. I want to see sinew. I want to hear popping as cartilage. I mean, I want to have to pick their cartilage out of my teeth. Opponents of Medicare for all, fucking, I want to gargle their blood.
Mortal Kombat finishing scene.
Rob, I've asked British guests this before, but I really wanted an American's take. Tesco like?
Tesco, you know what? The Tesco pre-made sandwiches are really good. The closest to where I live is a Sainsbury's, which also has good pre-made sandwiches. I mean, produce is generally pretty good because it's not terribly far to the farm that it grew on usually in London, since it's a pretty small country. But yeah, I like Tesco's, and what's good about Tesco's is you can afford the sandwich. And if you go to, I don't know, get a Five Guys burger there in London now, like, you have to take out a little loan to get it, whereas a Tesco sandwich is a very sensible thing. So I'm a fan of Tesco.
Brilliant. I knew it. I just wanted to hear it. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
I can't wait. That's going to be like a pilgrimage for me, is the day I finally go to Tesco.
When you really want to treat yourself, though, you go to Waitrose. Waitrose sandwich, I mean, forget about it. It's like a little angel made it and put it in a silken bag and gave it to you. That place is amazing.
So you mentioned
that was a big hit.
Hey, I'm taking notes. I'm taking notes on all of this. Trust
me. We need to readjust.
My pre-made sandwich tour of Great Britain is coming in 2018. I've already saved it.
But Rob, you mentioned you're spending time. You know, you're living in England now. You've been sort of radicalized by their healthcare system. But also, you know, you mentioned earlier after the election, you know, you came out pretty hard for DSA on Twitter. You're still tweeting about it. I just wanted to ask, like, you know, what made you decide to join DSA, and like, what has your interaction been with it so far?
Well, I would say I would love what I'd like to do is really minimize my contribution there, because what I'm sad about is that I can't physically attend meetings. And what Trump did well, and to strong positive effect for him and his supporters, was having the rallies, was pressing the flesh, was going to the places that you might not feel like going that day, but going anyway. And so what I'm trying to do with DSA is just increase their physical membership roles and their paying membership roles. So really, I'm just trying to, you know, funnel people into cattle cars and send them to the DSA. And so I really wish that I could do more, but I have so many little kids and I live in a different country that I can't really do as much as I can. So sometimes I feel ashamed when I like tell people online, like, here's what I think is a good idea that you could do. Like, yes, I can make donations, you know, and I can, you know, tell people what to do. And I'm lucky to have a lot of people that I can tell to do it. But I do lament the fact that I'm not physically in the United States right now to help out. But yes, so that's not exactly answering your question, which was how did I kind of come to the DSA? Am I right about that?
If you already mentioned it, if it was just being like, well, fuck it, like the world's over now, so why continue to like put up with the Democratic Party?
It always felt weird, you know. For example, like I voted for Barack Obama in 2008, right? And as I did it, I remember thinking like, well, here's something. In 2008, he was against gay. He was on record as being against gay marriage, right?
Yeah.
And so there's two possibilities, right? That he really feels that way, which is terrible, and or he's lying, which is also terrible. And so, I voted for him anyway because I was doing the calculus that people do when they vote for a giant party candidate these days, usually, and it felt icky. And so, and then like, I voted for Sanders in the primary this time, and I voted for Clinton in the general. And anything I ever wrote was about super specific policy points, you know, like I would, and it was hard to get people to be passionate because I wasn't like, the story of this candidate is one. I was literally like, she's going to lower the Medicare enrollment age to 55. She says she's going to do the public option, you know, and that's hard. But what I did really try to do was try to get people to – I tried to make up like fun games to make people give money to Democratic House and Senate races. And just because I figured she was going to get elected and I wanted her to have a Democratic Senate and House to hopefully expand social safety nets in certain ways. And it was just all fucking exhausting. And so then it didn't work. And look, you know, Trump is not, he's a shitty, disgusting, misogynistic, bigoted fucking pustule. He also exists on a continuum. You know what I mean? When it goes like Bush, Clinton, Bush, Obama, Trump. That's a ramp, you know what I mean? And so something like him was going to happen, and when 46-point-whatever-percent people of eligible voters don't even vote, you get a Trump, you know? So he didn't happen in a vacuum.
Yeah.
And so now we just have to fight with all available tools. And, you know, call me crazy, but the fucking one of the best ones I know is truth, and it's saying what you truly want. And what I want is for anybody in America – poor or rich, to be able to go to the fucking hospital when they need to, you know, and get the care that they need without going bankrupt or committing suicide from medical debt. Punchline.
You know, I think we need to tackle these goals very incrementally and just one at a time and be realistic more than anything.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
it's the art of the possible.
You know, the host of Celebrity Apprentice is now president. So the most important thing for the opposition is just be realistic and modest of their goals.
Yeah,
and acknowledge that, you know, he really truly did become the president when he dropped a 22-ton bomb on an anthill. Yeah, he really became president that day.
When he spent $80 million blowing up an airfield that wasn't really in use, and then continued giving money to Al-Qaeda in the same country, that's when he became my commander-in-chief.
When he told us, he was telling the president of China to about the chocolate cake he ate before dropping the bomb, he was really getting patent deals for his daughter, and that's why we need to respect him. He's truly presidential.
Did you guys see how he called Korea part of China? Which, like, it's possible. It's just, like, his brain having holes in it. But it's also, like, it's possible that, like, he's just, like, just by meeting Xi once, he's a Chinese nationalist now. folks, look, one people, one policy. Great rules make great society, okay?
Yeah, but then he's going to see Abe again and come out and be like, folks, Raven Nanking never happened. Okay?
Rob, I know you don't have too much time with us here today, but so before you go, I don't want us to run out of time without getting to a sort of a bit of a reading series that we wanted to do with you.
Oh, this
comes to us courtesy of Mike Cernovich. Now, I know you're somewhat familiar with Mike. You're not an expert. You're not a miker. We consider ourselves mikers. Team Gorilla here at Chapo.
Yeah.
And, you know, we saw this this headline, this post that he wrote for Medium last week, the headline of which is, America's leading mindset expert attacked by feral mob, comma, maintains emotional control.
Which wow.
I think is I'm going to let you finish, but Tony Robbins is the greatest mindset expert of all time.
Oh,
seriously,
hey,
though, where does he get off saying he's a more leading mindset expert than Tony Robbins? Tony Robbins gets people to spend thousands of dollars to see him at a Ramada Inn and walk across hot coals.
Yeah, but if
Cernovich gets like 50 shut-ins to watch his Periscope, there's no contest.
If Tony Robbins, though, got lightly tapped on the shoulder by a feral mob, he would probably cry, strip naked, scream. He would do anything but maintain emotional control, and that's what makes Mike the best.
I have a quick Tony Robbins story that I think this podcast is the place to deposit it. If you get a chance, if you haven't seen the Tony Robbins TED Talk, and I like you guys, so I would never normally recommend a TED Talk to anybody, but the Tony Robbins one is fun because it's one of the earliest ones, and they hadn't totally figured it all out yet. And so he thought that they have a very rigorous format. And Tony Robbins, you can tell when you watch it, thought, yeah, I don't need to prepare. I'm Tony Robbins. I'll just snap on in and it'll be amazing. And he's immediately thrown by the countdown clock on the stage. And he obviously he thought he could fit his like 16-minute thing into the 12 mandated minutes. And so he starts getting angry, which is something you never see at Tony Robbins. He starts swearing, and it's still up there on the official TED thing.
Felix is right. He did not maintain emotional control.
Yeah.
Gets so thrown and he starts making fun of Al Gore, but it's like he doesn't judge it right and it's too mean and everybody's upset. It's really a special thing and I recommend it.
Tony Robbins maybe is not the best mindset expert. If TED Talk threw him, I think Cernovich would have been up there. He'd have been looking at that countdown clock and he would have been cool as the cucumber. Rob, I was hoping that you could now this is like this is a very short piece. This is just half of it is just sentences. They're just like, you know.
Yes.
And I was hoping that we could get you to do sort of a dramatic reading from Mike Cernovich, America's leading mindset expert.
Sure, yeah. Do you just want me to read it from top to bottom?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, great. America's leading mindset expert, attacked by feral mob, maintains emotional control.
I just like imagine that reading that headline like an old newspaper boy going, extra, extra, yeah. America's leading mindset after an attack by feral mob maintains control.
Bill Clinton is a rapist. Expert and journalist Mike Cernovich declared during an anti-Trump rally in Austin, Texas. The mob rushed the stage screaming at and attacking him. Cernovich never lost his emotional control, even after he was sucker punched. Look at how angry these people are. Watch Cernovich keep his cool. His haters do not have emotional control. They lack gorilla mindset. Gorilla mindset like hundreds of people screamed at Cernovich and menaced him. These are not normal or psychologically healthy people. Cernovich caught the angry mob on film. Watch how feral they are. These are not normal people. They are in a cult. Mike Cernovich was sucker punched. Cernovich took reasonable measures to defend himself. Journalist Joe Biggs caught the attack on film. Cernovich said the attack on him is why he does journalism. A journalist's job is to report the truth. My lengthy live streams are unedited and show the truth to the people. Mike Cernovich is one of America's leading journalists. You can, link, support his work here today.
He is so fucking awesome. I loved him so much. Oh, that fucking rule.
I don't know much about. I mean, I know a little bit about him. Anytime I've taken it, I'm actually really good and gentle with my psyche. And if I think something is going to be fucking awful, I'm really good at not even reading it. So I haven't done too much of a deep dive into him.
We're the opposite of that.
I did see this video, and he's not attacked in any sense of the imagination, and it's kind of funny.
I think that you know. A person, if they're lightly pushed on the shoulder by a 60-year-old Unite Blue Twitter poster, they'll freak out. They'll kill people. But a gorilla, gorillas are known for keeping their emotional control when surrounded by loud noise and action, keeping my calm the way that only an ape can. The famous calm ape. Famous calm ape decimated by headshot from Podesta.
Although I just like there's other people in the video. I don't want to speak in defense of the other people, because if I was in a group of people and somebody yelled Bill Clinton is a rapist, I just wouldn't. That would be funny to me.
I'm like, you're right.
How dare you, sir?
Yeah.
Well, Rob, hopefully we can scar you emotionally here, because I now have some selections from Gorilla Mindset, and I just hopefully like to explain to you and the listener what Gorilla Mindset is.
Please, this
is from the introduction under a giant boldface headline titled Why Gorilla Mindset is Different.
Uh-huh.
Mike writes, a gorilla is a powerful, dominant animal. We humans are known as great apes or human primates.
I say that all the time.
Rather than view our physical nature as something dirty or evil, I embrace my gorilla nature. This doesn't mean being a mindless brute. This means recognizing both mind and body are important for success and happiness. As you will learn in this book, mind and body are deeply connected. You cannot succeed in improving one without improving the other. This book is about embracing your gorilla nature to find dominance and power. But you will see that this primarily means power over yourself, not others. The third eye in the gorilla recognizes that he's mixing up a lot of metaphors. The third eye in the gorilla.
Gorillas have two eyes.
No, dude. Gorillas are known for their psychic powers. Gorillas invented DMT.
The third eye in the gorilla recognizes we are great apes who seek enlightenment. We want answers. These answers cannot be found in our mind or body alone. With Gorilla Mindset, you will recognize the power of unifying your body and mind. So yeah, basically, Mike is confused. I mean, I think does Mike think that human beings evolved from gorillas?
He seems to imply that we're basically different parts on the same continuum, which is not true.
What's funny to me, I mean, because I had not read that before, is like there's all kinds of there's not a lot of new ideas out there, and there are things in the world that like synthesize things that have happened before to positive effect, like Alcoholics Anonymous or like Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. But what you just read is like the shittiest synthesis of like just fucking historical motivating whatever the fuck. That's what trash.
Well, Rob, you may be asking yourself, what is your mindset?
I am asking that, yeah.
Your mindset is a choice.
Yeah,
way to explaining that, like, just think of it this way. Those of you who have children, or even a playful dog...
Well, this is for you.
Yeah, I can relate to this. are no doubt astounded. They wake you up with excitement and curiosity. My dog wakes me up in the morning by jumping on my bed and licking my face. He acts as if he hasn't seen me in weeks and that our day presents endless excitement. To him, it's as if chasing a ball is something that he has never done. My dog believes that each day offers unending possibility. In other words, my dog has an abundance mindset.
Canine mindset. Canine mindset. That, lick your taint at your office.
That's kind of cute. That part yeah. I can sign on to, but then he uses it to such negative, hateful, insane. It's like he wrote that. It has some good ideas, and he was like, I think I'm going to ignore that for the rest of my life.
Well, I like that he says that the headline is, your mindset is a choice, and then he uses the example of a dog, which literally doesn't have a brain or a choice in anything, and is just reacting to stimuli, basically.
Have you ever noticed how dogs never choose negative thinking? They're very positive people.
So just, Rob, one last mindset tip for you here. This is called Gorilla Mindset Shift, Change the Conversation.
Okay.
To improve your self-talk. Oh, I forgot to describe what self-talk is. Self-talk is Mike's word for thinking thoughts.
Oh.
Like, you know how sometimes when you talk to yourself in your head?
That's literally what a caveman would describe that as.
Self-talk.
I'm doing self-talk instead of word talk. I am attacked by feral mob. I maintain control of self and mouth talk.
Okay. So now that we know that self-talk is having thoughts, to improve your self-talk, the first step is to recognize that you're actually engaging in self-talk. This may seem obvious, but how many times has your mind spiraled out of control? When an internal conversation starts, seize it. In Chapter 3, you will be given specific techniques to help you get into the moment. Write it down. Look at the piece of paper so you can literally see the things you are saying to yourself. Once you recognize that a conversation has started, take 4 actionable steps to improve your self-talk. The first of which is, talk to yourself in a mirror. Do not attack your reflection. It is not another human being. It is, in fact, you. Do not attack your self-thoughts. They are in your head. Do not try to use a fork to get them out.
Under no circumstances will you use a power drill.
But then he does this stuff, and the thing that he says into the mirror is that date rape isn't real.
yeah.
What the fuck? By the way, for those who don't know who he is, that's not a Rob Delaney thought. That's a Mike Cernovich. the first Google hit is like rapeisreal.com/Mike Cernovich.
Well, that first Google hit is actually, that's his most famous tweet, and it's famous for a reason, because in arguing that date rape isn't real, what Mike says is, have you ever actually tried to force yourself on a woman? It's impossible. And then he says, try it at the end.
Jesus! Isn't that illegal?
It's incredibly illegal.
Not to do, obviously it's illegal to do it. Isn't it illegal to command people?
And once you realize how hard it is, you'll realize how fraudulent the concept is.
Yeah.
You'll give up immediately.
I think he means against like a grappling dummy or anatomy dummy or even the dog, because it has abundance mindset. It will help you out.
Yeah. And the dog can choose to say no or yes, depending on its mood.
Like, the dog wakes up excited every day because it knows that today can be the chance that the dog has to disprove false rape allegations.
I think the dog wakes up excited because it had a dream that Mike got hit by a car.
That's just a brief snippet from Mike Cernovich's Gorilla Mindset. You know, probably the self-help book that, you know, I think is sort of like the template for the 21st century man.
Wow. I'm going to buy an e-copy to read on my phone and a hard copy for when the grid goes down.
I'm doing a special project for disadvantaged school kids here in New York. I am buying buildings that are across the street from public schools, and I'm putting one page of the Gorilla Mindset up each day so that by the end of the school year, they will have read the entire thing, and they can leave, and they can – you know, no more public schools. I have less of a tax burden. I don't have to pay sales tax on cigarettes. And they're smarter than ever. They're out in the world with their abundance mindset. You know, they can become what they are.
So good. That's a great choice.
So, Rob, you know, just going forward, just know that, you know, happiness, emotions, feelings, they're all a choice that you can control with your brain by doing self-talk.
Yeah, here it comes, baby. I can't wait.
So, Rob, we'll let you go now, but I just want to say thanks for joining us, and everyone should
watch. Thank you, gentlemen.
Catastrophe.
Yeah,
All right, thanks. That was a lot of fun.
Okay. The Juicero.
Wait.
It is a...
Wait, hold on. Let me just go out of it. Just be like... Okay, hold on. Just one second. Okay. Yeah.
The Juicero.
Okay. That was Rob Delaney. We still have some more show for you to do. We're going to go straight from Rob Delaney to Matt. What is the Juicero?
All right. The Juicero is a Silicon Valley wonder product that has over $120 million in venture capital behind it. It is a $400 juicer, okay, marketed towards health-conscious yuppies. And the premise of it is that it's a Wi-Fi-enabled juicer that squeezes the juice out of a proprietary bag of fruit or vegetables that get mailed to you on a weekly basis from the company. Now, that's important to point out. You do not get to, like, just pour stuff in the top and make juice out of it like you would with, like, I don't know, a fucking blender or literally any other juicer that you could ever find on the market. You have to use their proprietary bag.
Why?
$400 contraption to squeeze the juice out of this bag that they mail you. And still, now you might say that's an insanely idiotic idea. Who would buy that? Why wouldn't you get one that you could actually use?
Isn't the whole point of a juicer that you just buy fruit and juice it?
No, can't do it.
So this is like Soylent.
The packets they mail you.
This is like Soylent. You have to like get like the thing in the mail.
Yeah, right. Only in this case, like you can't get Soylent anywhere else. You can get fruit literally everywhere else. And there are hundreds of products on the market that can turn it into juice much cheaper. But anyway, even with all of the seeming obstacles to anyone ever buying this stupid fucking product, it was still had a big old chunk of venture capital behind it and was chugging along until some enterprising reporters at Bloomberg found out that if you squeeze the bag, the juice comes out just as well as it does from the machine.
Wait a second. This is like the fucking Theranos of juicing?
Yes, it is the Theranos of juicers.
Is
if you squeeze the bag, you don't get quite as much out of it as if you put it in the juicer, but you can get it out faster.
Felix, do your...
And it's the same juice!
Felix, do your...
They literally... they sold people a $400 contraption to open a bag.
Felix, do your Elizabeth Holmes voice talking about juicing.
For too long, we thought that opening a bag itself of juice takes out the vital nutrients. When I was a little girl and used Capri Sun, I thought, how much juice am I losing? And I thought in a perfect world, a Terminator would open the juice for you.
Was it?
But there's one other product. There's one other benefit to it, is that because it's digital and Wi-Fi enabled. It's Wi-Fi enabled. There's a QVC code on the back of the pouch, and the blender could read it and make sure that it wasn't expired. But they also had the date of expiration printed on the bag as well. So once again, the life hack could be overcome by reading.
This is absurd.
But this is just the proof. If you were wondering, hey, is Silicon Valley on the brink of exploding? Is this entire fucking bubble going to burst and spray everyone in America with Soylent and turn San Francisco into fucking feral hellscape? Yes. Okay. Yes, it will.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, dude, this is such a bad day. Guys, we just got the news. Bill O'Reilly's officially out. If it wasn't enough that we woke up today and our friend Aaron Hernandez, the founder of DSA, is gone. Bill O'Reilly, the spokesman for DSA, is out too. And this is just, it's like everyone that ever told us it was okay to be weird. Everyone that ever told us to follow our dreams. Everyone that told us to believe in ourselves.
It's not okay to be weird now.
It isn't. It isn't anymore in this world.
See, I thought Cernovich had an inside track there.
But Matt, you were talking
to
about...
To replace O'Reilly.
The Juicero, I mean, isn't that like a wonderful bit of kismet? Because didn't Cernovich get his career as it started as a juicer?
Juice hawker.
Yeah.
He hawked juice. He thought, you live forever by juicing everything.
Well, has he died yet? Okay, so why are you making fun of him?
But didn't in one of his original juicing books... Again, a book about how to juice things. Didn't realize there was a needed a book to be written about that. But didn't he also imply back then that, like, the FDA was going to arrest him for juicing?
Yeah. Yeah. And,
of course. Yeah. The secret of juicing must be kept from the proles.
They don't
because
want
as,
to know.
As our friend Loan Auction has said, I mean, what is a healthier thing to do than take fruits, remove all of the useful fiber, and just leave the sugar? It's the key to longevity.
Just eat a fucking carrot, people. Come on.
Just eat it.
It's not
Shut
that
up
hard.
Eat the fucking carrot.
Steven Seagal eats carrots.
Yeah, need
is
to
that
say
why
more.
He's orange?
Yeah, yeah. He eats too many.
This
actually,
this is something we call an organic juicer. It's called motherfucking mouth. Goodbye, bitch.
Your family hates you, and your juicer,
the Juice Man, coming out 2018, filmed exclusively in Donetsk People's Republic.
So. Yeah, God, wow. Matt, thank you for telling me about the Juicero.
Yeah, I was glad I got to bring that knowledge to you.
No, that would like that's something that was on like the TV show Silicon Valley, pretty
yeah.
much.
Yeah, it's a joke.
So, like, yeah.
It's a joke thing, and it was happening under all of our noses.
And that, no, but now it's real, though. This is yeah. Jesus Christ. Just before we go, we mentioned earlier, yeah, like Bill O'Reilly's hitting the bricks. Fox is showing him the door, and we also mentioned the special jagoff election in Georgia's 6th district. I just want to share this tweet I saw this morning from our friend Neera Tanden,
friend of the show.
Neera writes, in the last 24 hours, 1, Jason Chaffetz stepping down, 2, Bill O'Reilly headed for exits, 3, Ossoff hit 48% in GOP plus 20 district. This is change.
Well, first of all,
Neera, you know, my reply to her that this is change is that Gorsuch will be on the Supreme Court for at least the next 50 years.
Yeah. And Chavez is probably running for fucking governor of Utah. And Evan McMullen will probably take Chavez's seat, be another Republican who votes with Trump 100% of the time while tweeting like, sir, you are dangerous.
Evan McMullen is exactly like that guy that I mentioned in the West Wing episode who agrees with 95% of the Republican agenda except for being gay.
Well, Evan McMullen is not gay. He's asexual.
Okay. He's a sapiosexual. He's just a Mormon man who's still single in his mid-40s. That's all.
Well, my favorite Evan McMullen tweet, by the way, is the apropos of nothing, when he went, my job in the CIA was to convince Al Qaeda to work with us. It's like, why would you say that? That doesn't like sound good to anyone.
Twitter's a public forum, yeah. Evan.
Did you think you were?
But yeah, no. This is definitely change. I mean, yeah, Chaffetz is going from the House probably to the governorship. Bill O'Reilly is going to be replaced with Richard Spencer. Ossoff is going to lose the runoff. So this is fucking change. I definitely can believe.
But yeah, no,
sucking. Putting my lips around a goddamn car tailpipe.
Ossoff is going to lose the runoff to a hologram of Bull Connor. And they're going to be like, well, it's actually 10 points higher than we got in the last election. So that's basically a victory. I love, by the way, every time you talk about them not winning the special elections, they go, that's actually a Republican district. And it's like, do you realize that you have to win those to get the House back? Like, you have to defeat Republicans in their district. That's how majorities work.
Look, I will say, clearly it's like the trending in like, you know, a reaction against the president's party, which always happens.
Yeah.
But like if they keep going like this, the Democrats are not going to retake Congress. And they're also dealing with states in which the Republicans have gerrymandered everything and control basically who gets to vote.
Yeah. Who do they think they are? The Republicans.
There's a natural tendency against the incumbent party during midterms that's basically only been stopped in 2002 because of 9/11. So, I mean, let's all cross our fingers for 9/11-2. But that, like, yeah, as you said, gerrymandering and voter ID stuff is going to blunt a lot of that effect. I mean, even unless something crazy happens, I don't even know if they're going to lose that many seats in 2008.
But just like,
I honestly am thinking at this point that everybody who won a Senate seat in 2016, like Tammy Duckworth and Kamala Harris, they're like the Democrats' baby Diegos from Children of Men. the last generation of Democratic office holders before their party collapses, and it's just the National Workers, the National Socialist Gamers Party and the GOP.
But yeah, like, you know, to this point, like, you know, of those three things that Nira highlights, only one of them actually has to do with the Democratic Party, and he lost or is going to lose in this, the next runoff. And it's like, again, yeah, like we said, Chavez going to be replaced by someone just like him. O'Reilly going to be replaced by someone just like him. Yeah, Tucker Carlson. Yeah, yeah. Great. Even better. So I guess, like, my question for Nira, and I just keep seeing shit like this, you know, not to pick on her, but, you know, she is indicative of this mindset. When the fuck are these people going to stop feeling good about themselves?
Never. Never. Because, like, I mean, we made fun of Cernovich earlier for being like, use self-talk to encourage yourself. But they believe the same thing. Like, they just believe sort of an upper middle class version of guerrilla mindset where you never fail, you never face accountability, it's everyone else's fault, and you are brave for even trying a little bit.
And to go back to the West Wing, they have the right values.
Yep.
They're the good people who argue in good faith, so they're good, and there's nothing that they would ever have to feel bad about because they fought the good fight.
Yeah.
Even if it ends with them drowning in boiling seawater – they fought the good fight.
Like, you know, I'll begin to feel even slightly optimistic when these people show any sign of getting, like, how fucked they are and how fucked the rest of us are along with them because of their fucking, their incompetence and just, like, back-slapping fucking Xanax-induced euphoria over nothing.
How about they feel any contrition at all? How about any of these people at the highest level get fired? One. Just give me one, and maybe I can feel one-tenth of that undeserved glee that you fucking pieces of shit feel.
It's like, we're on the way back to power, you know? And it's just, what, like, because of a TV host got fired? Doesn't mean shit. So, yeah, to, you know, end on a happier note, as you're probably well aware, we spent last weekend in Boston, in Beantown, baby. And, you know, I gotta say, I feel like somewhat of a fraud now because I may have to retire or just slightly dial back my status as, like, a big-time Boston hater because I got to say, it was a lovely weekend.
It was pretty good.
And it was a nice city, too.
If we spent another day in D.C., we would have gone heaven's gate. We would have all fucking topped ourselves in bunk beds.
Boston and Harvard, the Harvard show was great. I'm really glad everyone else got a chance to listen to that. But just a few people I just want to say thank you to and give a shout out. First and foremost, Mark Steinbach of the Harvard Lampoon for inviting us and showing us around. We got to see the Lampoon offices, which I got to say was probably the highlight of my trip there.
Absolutely.
It was really, really cool. And, you know, to be, you know, in the room, to sit in the chair that people like Borowitz, Haverbaum.
Haverbaum.
Hand Bill of God. Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby,
yeah.
Bill Cosby, another founder of DSA.
No, I mean, I'm teasing, but no, the Harvard Lampoon offices were super cool, and I really want to thank Mark for taking us into the inner sanctum. And also, Peter Bacon for, again, showing us around campus, for just being a great host and letting us go into the fancy Annenberg Dining Hall.
Yeah.
And just
the chowder was wicked good.
Chowder was great.
Soft serve ice cream.
Soft serve was amazing.
I would even say that he is epic bacon.
And if you listen to the West Wing episode, you already know this. I'm going to give them another shout out. I'm not going to say them by name for, you know, legal purposes, or, you know, or could be a little sticky, even though it's legal in Massachusetts technically. You know who you are. The two people who made us the Baseball Crank cookies. Excellent job. That, I mean, again, like, I feel like I'm living my dream now. I get to, like, travel places and just be given cookies.
Do you realize,
when I'm done performing.
It was fun, it was cute, but do you realize that we're actually at the point now where we're biting into cookies that look like the avatar of a conservative psycho blogger?
Trappin' made it happen.
Like, that is surreal. I don't know if we've really processed how surreal it is.
I'm off that Baseball Crank.
Yeah, I mean, I'm remembering when we first talked about him on the show.
Absurd.
If you told me that within a year, less than a year, someone would be proffering me and me just mindlessly eating a cookie made to look like that, I would not have believed you.
It's fucking ridiculous.
It rules. And then last but not least, of course, the Boston DSA. And their dearly departed president, Aaron Hernandez, RIP. He was there in spirit with us on Saturday night at the fundraiser. We raised a lot of money for his family and their lawsuit against his victims. I just want to make that clear. The Boston DSA was 100% supporting us in that and helped us raise money for a really good cause.
Yeah, and we got tons of new members for the Jared Vogel Innocence Project.
Yeah.
Something the DSA has been completely behind. Yep. Really awesome stuff.
Yep.
Just want to say thank you for, you know, now after what happened today, we see how serious it is to get Jared out, and DSA is totally behind us. Thank you, guys.
But yeah, just generally to everyone, we got a chance to meet in Boston. I just want to say thank you. You guys are super cool, and I had a great time.
Yeah, maybe too good of a time, because I don't know if anyone saw the photo of you with a little beer on your beard.
I had like a Ted Cruz like globule.
Yeah, disgusting.
owned
on my
you
beard.
Clod.
Completely owned.
So guys, again, thank you, Boston. Thanks to everyone who came to the show and continues to support us and the JF IP.
Yep. Let's get him out of there, guys.
One more thing before we go. Felix and I have collaborated on a project just on our own, and we've been holding it back for a while, but I think we're going to debut it this week. It's a single that we recorded. Well, it's a single that...
A friend of ours
recorded, and we're promoting it, and we're just going to put our names on it, but it is actually by a real person.
Yeah, if you guys remember the first Adam Friedland episode, we had an extended convo about, like, you know, what types of people evangelicals are, and the listener reached out to us, and he happened to be a evangelical EDM producer, and he gave us the song.
Yeah, he had a, to be honest, we made fun of those types of people, but he had a pretty harrowing story where he has a secondhand boat,
boat
part business, and then I guess kind of fell off the wagon as a fundamentalist, faithful Christian for a while, had a bit of a lost weekend.
Fellatio spree, he called it.
Yeah. Put too fine a point on it, but had a bit of trouble with that. But then found the light of Jesus again, and sort of was even stronger in his faith. And then the exact same thing happened again. He fell off the wagon again and then did all the fellatio again, but then came back again, even stronger. And then he recorded the single.
Yeah.
And since he gave us the single, it did happen again, and he's currently on a fellatio binge, but
he's going to come back.
He's going to come
back. I know him.
And the pattern is going to be even stronger this time.
Yeah, this guy is a man of God. We're so grateful that he came into our lives.
What is his name again?
His name is PJ Dade. And his name is PJ Dade.
Okay.
And he has a beautiful son
named
Jagger.
Jagger Dade.
Dade.
Yeah. And so this, again, we're just sort of passing along. It was not a song that was whose lyrics were written by Felix and me, and then I recorded it and sang it. It's just an actual artifact from a fan.
It's a real thing. It's a real evangelical guy.
He's telling the story of his story, falling off the wagon, getting back on. The name of the song is "You Give Me Energy," and it's I'll release it also on the SoundCloud as a standalone track.
Yeah, so you can listen to it at the gym. You know, when you're overcoming sin, you can enjoy it.
As long as you come right back,
star. Lux run out, refuse to die, refuse to doubt. He is with me all around. Pick myself up off the ground. Cause even if you relapse in the hole, your wife understands that it's one step.